Did you know that fellowship with God is only made possible by the shed blood of Jesus? That's what we're going to talk about today on this broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got a great discussion lined up. I think it's important for you to know that we're in the middle of a series on the little book, 1 John. It's a little book in the New Testament, but lots of confusion has come from this book, and it's great to get clear on what this book is saying and what it's not saying. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this concept in this episode, which is titled, A Propitiation for the World. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are continuing our series going through the epistles of John. We're in 1 John and we're beginning chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Over the last couple episodes, we were discussing the principles of fellowship with God. So after a person has become born again, you can have a relationship with God. You can be walking with Him. And 1 John is all about how you can have that relationship in a non-legalistic, very gracious sense. And so far, we've discovered two principles of fellowship with God. What's the first principle, Bob?
The first principle is in order to share God's character, His nature, His perspective, we need to walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. And that means, of course, that we're in a solid Bible-teaching church, and the Bible is not only some book for us, but the Bible has become a part of us. That's principle one, walk in the light.
And that's from 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And now what's the second principle of fellowship?
The second principle is in verse 9, and that is confessing our sins, being honest with God. When we recognize that we have done something which is displeasing to God, something which is wrong, we've said something wrong, we've done something wrong, rather than trying to hide like Adam and Eve did in the garden, and, you know, they made fig leaves and they were hiding from Jesus as He was walking through the garden, we should honestly and openly confess our sins.
Confession just means you're just agreeing in your mind. It might happen in a moment where you just agree, Lord, yes, I did commit that sin.
Yes.
And He not only forgives you for that sin that you've confessed, it's much wider than that, isn't it?
Right. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all unrighteousness is more than the sins we confess, because obviously we're not aware of all of our sin.
How mechanical is this? Let's say someone is your mom and you have like three or four kids and you're just so busy and it just doesn't occur to you to confess your sins. Maybe it only happens at the very end of the day. Are you out of fellowship during that whole day?
Well, I would say no, as long as this mom or dad, if he's at work or whatever, is open with God whenever he or she recognizes that he or she has sinned. Mom may be going through the day and she yells at the kids and, oh, I feel bad about that, and you acknowledge it to God just in a moment and you go on. That's confession. However, if mom yells at the kids and then thinks, man, these are bad kids, you know, I'm every right to be abusive to my kids, this is fine, well then I'm doing something which is displeasing to God, and I'm not being honest with God about it. Now, it may not catch up to mom until later in the day that what I just did wasn't good for the kids.
Right.
Right? And it wasn't good for my relationship with God either.
Right.
And then she will confess it. I get that, but the truth is we should confess our sins when we become aware of them, and occasionally that's not instantly when we sin. Sometimes it's minutes or hours later.
Well, what about this? What about the person who has never, ever confessed? They believed in Jesus maybe when they were a teenager, and now they've lived life more or less ignoring God over the last maybe decades, and they just don't confess their sins. Is that person in fellowship with God?
No. If a person is not acknowledging their sins, and I'm not talking about necessarily that they're going through a formal time of prayer every time they recognize a sin, but if they're not being honest with God whenever they recognize sin in their life, well, then that person can't be in fellowship with God, because 1 John 1:9 is real clear. We must confess our sins in order to have cleansing for those sins and for all unrighteousness.
And this isn't an issue of being born again, right?
No.
You're born again the moment you believe in Jesus for eternal life. This is fellowship forgiveness. This is ongoing cleansing.
Well, in fact, you mentioned how 1 John is related to the Upper Room Discourse. Well, you remember in John 13, Jesus begins that whole episode by washing the disciples' feet. And when he comes to Peter, Peter is like, no, you're not going to do that. That's the work of a servant. You're not to do this for us. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. And he's talking about fellowship. And so Peter says, no, okay, then wash my head and wash my hands too. And he says, no, you are clean, but not all of you. That's a reference to Judas. Judas was the one who was unclean. But when he says you are clean, he also uses this in John 15. He means you have positional forgiveness. You've been cleansed in a positional sense. But the one who is positionally clean needs his feet washed. That's an illustration of confessing our sins and having fellowship forgiveness.
Well, we're going to continue our study now. We're in chapter 2, and we're going to do verses 1 and 2. And let me read it. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Well, that's going to require a comment.
Right.
And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Okay, well, let's start off with that first verse. What? So that you may not sin? So is John envisioning sinless perfection here or some type of entire sanctification?
No, you'll notice these things I write to you. That's a reference to 1:5 through 10. And he's saying, I've written these last six verses to you so that you may not sin. He doesn't mean at all, because in 1:8 and 1:10, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. And if we say we have not sinned, we're deceiving ourselves. What he's saying is, I am writing these things to you so that you may not abide in the sphere of sin. You may not abide in that way of life. You're going to sin, of course. We all sin, and there's a certain mystery in this, Sean. How is it that we can be walking in fellowship with God and pleasing God, and yet we're not absolutely sinless? The answer is, well, that's just the way it is. But that's why we absolutely have to have the blood of Jesus Christ moment by moment. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We need that cleansing. And so obviously whatever 2:1 is talking about doesn't contradict 1:7, 1:8, 1:9, 1:10.
Well, I wonder if he's saying something like, I don't want you to be the kind of Christians who are out of fellowship.
Right.
I don't want you to be the kind of Christians who are walking in the darkness when you can have this fellowship with God.
That's great.
So, but if anyone is like that, still in verse 2:1, if anyone does sin, well, we have someone on our side.
Right. He's our lawyer. He's our advocate, and he's the best, the Lord Jesus
right.
Christ.
He's never lost a case.
Right. This isn't $500 an hour. This is the blood of Christ an hour, which is of infinite value.
Right.
And so our defense attorney is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is always interceding for us. As long as we're walking in the light and confessing our sins, our advocate is advocating for us before the Father, and we continue to walk in fellowship with God. And this is all because of, as we'll see in the next verse, the atonement. What Jesus did at the cross is not only something necessary for us to be born again, it's also necessary for us to have fellowship with God.
I love this idea that he's the propitiation for our sins, but not just for us, but for the whole world. There's a lot of Christian churches out there and preachers, popular radio preachers and TV preachers, who are going to say, no, Jesus only died for the elect, only died for certain people that God chose from eternity past to be saved. But that's not what 1 John says.
No, this is one of the strongest statements of what's called unlimited atonement in the Bible. I realize that some people want to argue that he's not only propitiation for our sins, but for the sins of the elect in the entire world. But that's reading into the passage. What he's saying is our sins means born-again people. He's also the propitiation for all the unregenerate people. That is, he's provided the way of salvation for all. He has made everybody savable. Remember John 1:29, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." By his shed blood, he has made us all savable.
Right. So it's important, I think, for people to realize that the cross has more than one benefit. And when we say Jesus is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, we're not saying that he gives eternal life to the whole world.
No.
Propitiation is a different benefit than eternal life. And instead of thinking of the cross as one benefit for one type of person, think of the cross as there are different benefits to different beneficiaries under different conditions. And what John is saying here is that this propitiation is for the whole world. Eternal life is only given to believers.
Right. And fellowship is only given to believers who are walking in the light and confessing their sins. But all of it requires propitiation.
That's right. So that's the foundation.
Without that foundation, there is no eternal life and there is no fellowship with God.
So you can know that Jesus was the propitiation for your sins.
Yeah.
John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world." You are included in that. You're part of the world. God loved you. And he not only loved you, he did something about it. He sent Jesus to die for you. And Jesus was the propitiation for your sins. There is nothing that you need to do in order to prepare yourself to have everlasting life. Just believe that promise and you can have it.
Right. And then once you do, walk in the light and confess your sins and you'll be in fellowship with God, which is a blessed place to be.
Well, keep on listening as we go through 1 John, and be sure to visit our website at faithalone.org to listen to past and future episodes.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion. You guys make it sound so simple. Well, maybe you as the listener really like how Dr. Bob and Sean explain these biblical concepts in a way that is easy to understand. If that's the case, I'm going to encourage you to take a step further. The step that I want you to take is to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. It's simple to remember, faithalone.org. On our website, we've got all kinds of great resources, resources that I benefit from myself. My favorite is the Grace in Focus magazine. This is a beautiful print magazine. Guess what? It's completely free. You can get a subscription to this print magazine for no cost at all. We also have videos, podcasts, blog posts. All of these resources are free. We even have a bookstore if you want to go deeper than that. You can find out about upcoming events that we do around the country. We would love to see you face-to-face at one of our Bible conferences. You might even feel led to give a tax-deductible donation to the ministry to help us continue doing what we're doing. That would be so much appreciated. Maybe this episode shook some things loose. Maybe you have questions that you've never thought about before. Well, we would love to hear from you. Here's our email. It's easy to remember. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to find out what happens if we keep his commandments. So tune in tomorrow for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.